is that you'll use a few minutes to reflect on what I'm asking, or through the week and weeks to come, that'll trigger in something in your mind to reflect upon something. So there will be some questions that I'll be asking, and that's the purpose for why I'm going to be doing it. So now we're moving into chapters 4 through 6, and Paul is completely changing gears, okay? So he's calling us to live rightly and to live worthy of our new calling in Christ. And our calling now is to honor and worship God in all we do as we share the gospel, right? Isn't that pretty basic there? So he's asking us to live in a way that's worthy of a calling like that. So what does that look like now in our lives as new believers? Anybody want to share anything? What does it look like now to walk in a calling that's worthy to God? Anybody? To walk in obedience. Okay. Good. Walk in truth. Walk in love. Okay. So there's a difference here. We're going to be walking a different path now as believers than we did as non-believers. So what we find is chapters 1 through 3 were the teaching. Now chapters 4 through 6 we're going to find are the instruction and how do we make this work in our lives. Okay, so it's the application part of this. So remember how Paul repeatedly emphasized, I'm sorry, did I blow your ears out there? I don't know what I did. That we're saved through grace, by grace through works, right? By grace through faith, not by works. Thank you. I was in the wrong church. So what does it actually mean for us to walk in faith? In Jesus' life, he gave us the perfect example of living in faithfulness and in faith. So how does a believer's walk in faith contrast a non-believer's walk in faith? Okay, so let's look at some of that. Let's go ahead. So if we're a believer, or a non-believer, which we don't have here. So, what's it look like when we have a fear as a believer? Okay. So we trust in God. What does a non-believer do when they're fearful? They worry. Okay. So something's happened in our life that we didn't expect, and it's creating a lot of stress for us. How do we do that as a believer?
Stay in the Word.
Stay in the Word. Okay, good. Then we pray. What does a non-believer do with something like that? maybe turn to various sin. What else? What does a non-believer do when they've had the rug pulled out from under them and they just don't know what to do, or they aren't happy about it? They can come out in anger. Okay. A devotional response? Emotional. Okay, good, yeah. So you have a relationship that's not going well. It's not the way you want it to look. How's a believer deal with that relationship? Being gracious? Anything else? So you got to talk louder. I'm half deaf already. Listen, okay, they'll listen. What are some of the things that happen to the non-believers? They're reactionary? Okay, that's good, yeah. I don't know if you can read any of that. What else? What happens to relationships with non-believers a lot of the time? They leave? Can't write that low. So anyway, so we'll stop there because I can't write any lower. Huh? So what we're looking at what I want you to see is there's a pattern here, you guys, okay? We're believers. We're called to a standard here where we need to reflect God, okay? The non-believers are working out of the flesh. They're working out of the world, and they aren't living to a standard. So things can get pretty chaotic in their lives pretty fast, right? So what I want you to do is look at these. Trust in God. Stay in the Word. Pray. Be gracious and listen and caring. And trust in themselves. Okay, yeah, very good. How well does that work for us? Yeah, that's what happens, you know. So this is where we're supposed to be. This is where the poor non-believers are. So it's kind of important that we be helping them learn what's real, right? But when we look at this, trust in God, stay in the Word, pray, live, be gracious and listen. Is that how our lives are looking? When the relationships are breaking up? When things are happening that we're not happy with, when some kind of a catastrophe happens in our life, are these our go-tos? Or are some of our go-tos here? And that's what I want to point out, because we've all been here before we were believers. This is where we're supposed to be 100% of the time, right? That's what I want you to be aware of. Are we there 100% of the time? If we're not, something to reflect on, right? We need to be in trusting in God, staying in the Word, praying, and being gracious and listening, right? We don't want to be over here filled with worry, turning to different sins. We don't want to be angry and panicked. We don't want to have emotional reactions or be reactionary or just leave relationships. We don't want to be there, but sometimes we are. And so we want to be real careful to keep ourselves in check that we can stay here. Right. 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 Ray brings up a really good point. Really good point. We're not supposed to worry, right? But how many of us here worry about our children and grandchildren's salvation? I'd say we're all probably, or most of us, are pretty guilty of that one. So what do we do with that? Let's look at that, right? What do we do with that? We're worried about our children and grandchildren's salvation. So if we're not going to do the worry thing and the emotional thing, what are some solutions for that? Okay, we're going to trust God. Right. Right. Does God hear our prayers? Yeah. Okay. So the most powerful tool we probably have in that case, instead of worrying about all of our children and grandchildren or people that we love and their salvation, is what? Prayer. Okay. You know, and God tells us to do that, to pray with expectation, right? And I don't know where that is in the Bible. I apologize. But yes, pray with the expectation that God is going to hear your prayers, right? So, So we have that. Thank you, Julie. That's very good. Anybody else? What does anybody else have as an alternative to the worrying about, in this instance, let's just take this one instance, instead of worrying about the children and grandchildren's salvation, we can trust God with them, knowing that He cares, loves them more than we do. We can pray for them with intention that He is going to work in the ways that He's going to work to, for their salvation. What else can we do?
Well, I'm sorry for talking too much.
No, Julie.
Another thing that really helped me was this last study on Revelation, because knowing the fear of men and people that are going to
Amen. Yeah. So God will work His ways in their lives. So I think the important thing is it really does go back. We need to find a way to stop the worry and go and turn to God and go through prayer and scripture instead, right? So, yes, Steve.
You know, one of the toughest things is to let that go and to really trust in God and to understand that you know, that you may not see the fruit of your prayer. It may happen way after.
Yeah. Right.
And that's tough thing to think about. That it's like most things in life, we really don't have control over it.
No, we don't. And that's a perfect example of why, of one of the things that we don't have control over. They are in control of their own salvation in that sense, right? It's up to them to make the choice to choose God. And what is our obligation in that stance? What's our obligation? To make sure they know, to tell them about Christ, to make sure they understand what it takes for their salvation. That's what we need to do to be living rightly with Christ. What they need to be willing to do to live right with Christ is they need to accept and be obedient and trusting, right? So that's a perfect example that we have. So what I want you guys to do this week is start looking at those things in your life where things aren't going well or the way you think that they should go and start looking at how you're reacting to that. Are you reacting from the flesh and the world or are you reacting from the perspective of God? Okay? Because this part of Ephesians is where Paul is trying to get us to change our behavior that it looks like somebody who believes in Christ, right? So that's where we're at. So if we go to Ephesians 2:8, and we've already read this, but it applies here. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and not that of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. Okay? So we need to be walking in faith because it's been given to us graciously, not because we've earned it. And Paul makes it in his intentions really clear here that we should not be walking in a manner worthy to God so that God will love us. We should be walking out of gratitude and not for merit or reward. Just for what he's done, just the grace that he's given, we should want to walk a worthy life out of gratitude, not because we expect any more. Okay? Important concept. So then what does it look like to walk pleasing to God? So last week we talked about unity. That was the predominance of Paul's message in chapters 1 through 3. There were the other things too. But the predominant part of the marriage was in marriage. Yeah, the message was in unity. And so what does unity look like according to Paul? Well, I'm glad you asked. Ephesians 4, 1 through 6, okay? I'm going to read it. So, I therefore, the prison of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another, in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Does that kind of spell it out? Yeah. So let's look at that. Lowliness and gentleness. So we're looking at that, and it's like, well, what does all lowliness and gentleness mean? So what does it look like? Let's put it in. So what are some other words that we can use that we use daily? We don't use lowliness a lot, okay? So lowliness and gentleness. He expects us to be humble and kind, right? That putting it in today, okay? And those are still biblical. Long-suffering is no more than patience. He expects us to be patient with each other. bearing with one another. Okay, so bearing with one another. Now, how many of us immediately get a negative thought? Okay, Paul thinks positive. He says, we need to be understanding of each other's shortcomings or failures, just as we ask God to do for us. Not we need to think negative, putting up with each other, right? Okay, so, but that's a difference between a believer and a non-believer. As a non-believer, sometimes it's like, okay, yeah, I can bear with this, I can put up with you. You know, as a believer, it's like, I love you as my brother or sister, and I'm going to try to find a way to help you through this shortcoming, as I know that you would help me through my shortcomings, and as God helps me regularly through my shortcomings. That's the difference he's talking about. So it's almost like Paul is telling us to put others' needs before our own. I don't know. You know, by dying on the cross so that we can have salvation, Jesus showed us that he was always willing to put the other people's needs first, right? He was willing to be obedient even to death. Now, this is a big concept, right? Jesus was willing. He wasn't obligated. He wasn't required. He wasn't coerced. He wasn't reluctantly giving up because he had had enough. No, Jesus was willing to go to the cross for us, okay? So when we're faced with faith trials, how much of us are facing those willingly, and how many of us are facing those growth trials with reluctance or fear or intimidation, right? Jesus gave us the perfect example. He was willing. He chose to do this. And we should choose to have that same faith walk and that same relationship to others as he had for us. So, when these attributes now that we're talking about here on the other side, and then the non-believers. Okay, we were all on the non-believers, right? So these attributes that we're talking about, our trust, our long-suffering, our patience, our willingness to love each other, these are not natural attributes to man since we are fallen. They are not natural attributes to fallen man. These are attributes that we need to nurture and pray about and strengthen in ourselves and each other. Not just in ourselves, but each other as well. Because that's where God wants us to be. So you'll see, and so that brings up a situation. We've all seen people who look like they are, you know, kind and loving and all that. Can they do that occasionally? Yeah, all of us can, right? But we can do it consistently as believers. And why can we do it consistently as believers? Anybody? It's the Holy Spirit in us. Is the old man gone? Yes. Is the new man here? Yes. Do we have to bring the baggage from the old man with us? No, we're expected not to, right? So we can consistently live a life that is pleasing to God if we choose to, because we have the Holy Spirit. So let's go there, John 16, 5 through 11. So we're talking about the work of the Holy Spirit here, okay? But now I go away to him who sent me, and none of you ask me, where are you going? But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they do not believe in me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the ruler of the world is judged. Okay? The Holy Spirit here as our counselor, living within us to help us. So, where are we now? So, we have the Holy Spirit living within us. That's what makes the difference, right? So, This is going right back to where we've talked before. When we are saved, when we place our trust and our faith in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, are we given a little bit of the Holy Spirit and then we get more and more as we mature? No. We are instantly filled with the Holy Spirit. So then that begs you to ask the question, well, when I look around at other people, some people look like they are just way more filled with the Spirit than I am. It's like, so why is that? Are they filled with more of the Spirit than we are? No. They are relenting to the Spirit. They are letting. They are allowing the Spirit to guide them and more than we are. Okay? That's the difference. It's not that they have more of the Holy Spirit within them. They are just being more obedient to the Holy Spirit than we may be at that time. And we are going to find that there are times in our lives where we're going to flux, and sometimes we're going to be really strong and we're going to be really faithful to follow the Holy Spirit, and other times we may or may not, you know, not follow as strongly. But again, reflect, when we are not living in a manner that is pleasing of God, are we following the Holy Spirit as closely as we need to be? Okay? Paul goes on to talk about spiritual gifts. Okay? So we have all been gifted with different spiritual gifts. And why is that? Well, let's go to Ephesians 4:11. Have it here. And Paul was saying, and he gave himself some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of Man, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And then Paul goes ahead, and if you go back to 1 Corinthians 12, and here Paul is 4:11, and here Paul is talking specifically to the Gentiles again. And again, he is telling the Corinthian church the same thing. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But this one and same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. Now, clarification on the tongues thing, that was written to Old Testament, okay? So, but what he's saying here, and he's emphasizing it to two different churches now, the Corinthian church and the Ephesian church, is God has gifted all of us differently. And why has he gifted us differently? Anybody? If you didn't have the rest of the body. How would our church, how would Christ's church function as a whole if we didn't all have different spiritual gifts? We couldn't. If everybody was an administrator, who would do the work? If everybody was a teacher, who would be doing the caring? And we all have a role. We all have a spiritual gift. And we need to really look inside and see, what is that spiritual gift that God has blessed me with that I can use to build his church? Okay? We're talking our church family here. But is God's church is universal too. How are we building God's church outside of our church family as well through the use of our spiritual gifts? Right.
You know,
Right. Yeah. That's a good point, Julie. I'm not saying that we don't belong to a church party. God, Paul very clearly calls us to be part of a church body, correct? But our church body, we perform one set of functions, spiritual, using our spiritual gifts to uplift and hold up and edify each other. But we have the whole worldwide Christian church as well, and we have gifts that we can use to strengthen the world church for Christ as well. That's where ministry, where missionaries are coming in. That's where the dynamic speakers are coming in that are having their big seminars and things. They are working outside of their church family, but they are still working within God's church, right? And that's what I'm saying. We have a role here as a church family to do, but we also have a role outside the walls of our church to do too. I think that I'm going to go out there, Jesse. To me, it isn't a hole in the church because God will fill that hole with somebody else's gift. But it's leaving a hole in their spiritual walk when they aren't belonging to part of a church family. Am I off on that?
No.
Okay. So God will keep his church strong. As long as we are following him intently, he's going to keep us strong, and he's going to fill the holes and the voids that we need. But I think that the people that aren't going, they're the ones that are losing. Because there's a lot of us, their eternal life is, it starts here, man. They're just missing out by not being part of a church family. And that's sad. So we need that's where we need to be praying for them, right? That they will feel the calling to come back to a church, whatever that is, whether it be our church or the Christian church down the street, or as long as their philosophy is strong, they just need to be in a church, right? So, Paul. So let's go back. Paul leads into the believer as a new man, which is 4:17. And there's a lot of stuff here, guys. That's why I'm going through this. But 4:17, Ephesians 4:17-24. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lewdness to work all uncleanness with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Okay? We have got to leave the old behind, and we've got to move to the new, okay? So Paul then goes on to describe the character of the new man in Christ in Colossians 3, 12 and 17. And I've just got a couple more scripture readings here, and then we'll... The character of the new man, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, and forgiving one another, if anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you must also do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord, and whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Okay? That is the character of the new man. And the other one that will follow, does this sound familiar to anybody? Can anybody else pull up a verse? that would sound very similar to this? Well, let's go to Galatians, right? Galatians 5, and we are going to 16 through 26. Okay. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. These are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish, but if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, rivalries, and the like. Wow. Yeah. Of which I tell you beforehand, just as I told you in the past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law, and those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. So I would like to suggest to you, because it has helped me a lot in my walk, if you are trying to walk closer to God and walk more worthy of God, good verses to memorize. Galatians 5, 25 and 26. 22 and 23. I'm sorry. The fruits of the Spirit. Okay? Remember those. Those should come right to the tip of your tongue when you're feeling your worries or your anxieties or your angers. Thank you, silly. Or your angers or your frustrations or anything else. If you can recall the fruits of the Spirit, it can help you ground yourself. So it's a good; those are good verses to memorize. Galatians 5, and that's 22 and 23.
So,
yeah. No, that's good. You want to explain that more, Jan? Okay, so it's being proactive, right? Holding our thoughts proactive instead of reactionary. We can sense when those thoughts are coming on. It doesn't have to overwhelm us, like Jan says. That's a good point. When we start feeling the rumblings of thoughts like that, go to your verse. Find your grounding, okay? Don't allow it to go till you're so frustrated or so angry or so worried that you don't know what to do. We don't need to go there, right? We can stop it in its tracks, and that's a habit we need to start forming. And then you can, very good, Julie. I think that's a wonderful way. And we're all going to have our own ways of doing that, right? We're going to have scriptures that really mean something to us. But I like that one a lot. That's all things work for our good, right? Through God, right? Right. Good. Very good. Anybody else want to add anything? Okay, so as we move forward, and we're running out of time here, I talked too much today, but If we go through Ephesians 5 now, okay, these are very, very clear sections, but I would like to ask you guys, because of the sake of time, to read those this weekend. I'd like you to go through the walk in light, the walk in wisdom, and the teachings on marriage, okay, for just for your own benefit. And let's do some cross-referencing, okay, like we've been doing on some of this. So next week, we're going to start on the armor of God, finally. So we're going to go there. But I wanted to give you guys some background, okay? So like we said last week, you can't go into war or into battle unprepared. So we can armor up in all the ways we want to armor up, but if we don't know our enemy, if we don't know our allies, God and His will, we are going into battle lost, okay? So that's why we've been going through this study, is where are we in God? What does it look like to honor God, to have faith in God? What does it look like to trust in God? That's why we've been doing this, okay? So now with some background in this, we're going to go into the armor of God. So I'm going to ask you for some scripture references next week, and those are going to be to a question: is spiritual warfare real? So I want you guys to look that up and find scripture references that will tell us, is spiritual warfare real? And then we will get started on the armor of God next week. Okay? Anybody have any questions? Thank you, you guys, for all your input. That was great. You know, we're all learning from each other, right? And so it's good that we can share those thoughts. So let's see how many you can come up with anyway. So before we close, let's pray. And Father, we just thank you for everybody that was able to be here today. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the clarity that you have given us. Father, as we move forward today, we just ask that you bless Jesse and what he has to share with each of us, and that you just watch over our families and bless them with good health and all the blessings that you intend for them as we go through the week. And until we see you again next week in this place, we just thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.